Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 22nd of January. We're going to be talking about cancer in this country and U.S. cancer deaths dropping for the second year in a row. And we're looking at 2004 and 2005. Cancer deaths fell to 553,888, a decrease of 3,014 deaths from 2003, according to a review of U.S. death certificates conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics and released by the American Cancer Society. The reasons? We'll talk about some of them this hour. Is it early detection, better cancer treatments, a decline in smoking? The death rates for breast, prostate, and colorectal cancers, three of the most common, have gone down. And maybe we're starting to see real dividends from screening, prevention, and treatment efforts. But there are some red flags concerning cancer in Wisconsin, and we'll be talking about those. Beth Lunau is with us, Wisconsin Vice President of the American Cancer Society. We'll be welcoming phone calls as well. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hi, Beth. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me today.
Let's talk about the positive news here. Cancer deaths down for 2 years in a row. That's obviously good news.
Yes, that is actually very encouraging news in the battle against cancer.
And the reasons for it, would you say, is it better treatments or earlier or prevention, or what is it?
Well, really all of the above. And as you had mentioned earlier, better treatment definitely does play a large role in that. And also earlier detection is a huge factor in where we're seeing the decline in cancer death.
Mm-hmm. So we're being much more careful about getting mammograms, or much more careful about what?
Yes. Well, people are getting screened, just like you said, with mammograms. They're getting screened for colon cancer. They're visiting with their doctor. And as people are screened, and if cancer is detected earlier, it can be treated, and we have a higher opportunity to then save the lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have said that there are some red flags concerning this report. What are those?
Well, really more so just some concerns to have, that we are still seeing incidence rates of cancer are increasing. So people are still being diagnosed with cancer. While we are preventing deaths, our concern is really to lower the risk overall for people. And that really comes back to lifestyle changes for individuals.
The incident rates of all kinds of cancer are going up, or certain kinds of cancer?
We're seeing it more prevalently in certain kinds of cancer. Mainly, we're looking at, here in Wisconsin, lung cancer and melanoma. We're still seeing some higher incidence rates in those areas.
Mm-hmm. And more when it comes to both of those cancers among women, right?
Right.
Why is that?
Well, with lung cancer, women, we are seeing, as we've watched the trend, women started smoking later than men. So right now we're seeing that the incidence rates in lung cancer for women is coming to a plateau, and based on trends with the men, will also begin to decline similarly as we're seeing with men right now.
Mm-hmm.
But women are still smoking, and that's a message we want to get out there, that it's really important that we, if we're using tobacco products, that we quit.
Mm-hmm. What about melanoma rates? Why are those going up?
Well, when we look at melanoma, really, a lot of that comes back to lifestyle changes. Just remembering what we learned so long ago, use your sunscreen, that's still so important. And other things, we still see tanning beds are out there. People are going to those frequently and really telling people how unsafe that is. Wisconsin sun, while we're here in the middle of a snowy January, it's important for all of us to remember that skin care and protection from the sun is still important.
Mm-hmm. You also note in the report that there are great disparities here, not only when it comes to the number of deaths from certain kinds of cancer, but when you look at minority groups in this country who may just not have the kind of access to health care that they need, that the death rates are much higher.
Mm-hmm. And that's largely attributed to what you just said. Really, when we're looking at the disparities in cancer deaths and cancer treatment, it really comes back to access to care and treatment. Getting people the treatment that they need and really getting them to the doctor and getting them the access to the care that they need.
Mm-hmm. How long have these reports been going on? Do we look at the death rates every year?
We do look at the death rates every year. The data does take some time to analyze and really get all of the information together. So it does take some time to compile, and that's why 2004 right now is the most recent year which we have fully compiled data.
Mm-hmm. What about whether or not we're going to be able to whip this disease anytime in the future? We keep, you know, every year there's some kind of report, and I believe when Americans were, this is stuck in my mind, when they were interviewed about what their hopes were and what they thought might happen during the year 2007, quite a few Americans said that they thought that there would be a cure for cancer.
Well, we are making great strides, and while we're seeing the cancer deaths continue to drop, and it's likely that the drop in the number of deaths will continue throughout 2007 and beyond, we still have some things that all of us can do individually to really impact that.
Mm-hmm. And that those concern lifestyle choices and screenings, right?
Right, exactly. Lifestyle choices, screening, getting to your doctor, really having that relationship with your healthcare provider is critical in the fight against cancer and in early detection.
What kinds of screenings do you recommend, Beth, and at what age do you recommend them?
Well, there are a variety of different screenings. Of course, you've mentioned some of them already, mammography, and that's for women over 40. And then looking at colon cancer, so getting your colonoscopy, and that's for individuals over 50.
Any other preventions?
As well as prostate screening is also for men over 40. So when it comes to breast, colon, and prostate, those are our screenings and the ones that people will be most familiar with and that they will have that conversation with their health care provider about.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Beth Lunau is our guest, Wisconsin Vice President of the American Cancer Society, and we're looking at the number of cancer deaths in the United States dropping for 2 years in a row now. The reasons for that, but that there are also red flags and increase in the incidence of certain kinds of cancer, melanoma and lung cancer, and also the disparity among minority groups and Caucasian groups when it comes to treatment and it comes to death rates from cancer. Lines are open for you. We go to Joe from Hastings, Minnesota first. Hi, Joe.
Yeah. Can you talk about pancreatic cancer? My wife's been diagnosed with that. She has cysts. Can you tell me about pancreatic cancer?
Hi, Joe. This is Beth Luna with American Cancer Society. What is your question specifically about pancreatic cancer?
Do they ever remove the pancreas? Is that more prevalent now or what?
I just want to reiterate that while I'm with the American Cancer Society, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not a doctor. And just in answer to your question, while I don't have full information regarding your wife's situation, I think the best thing I could advise you on is to really talk that through with your doctor. You can also call the 1-800 number for the American Cancer Society, which is 1-800-ACS-2345, where you can talk to a patient navigator who can really navigate you through some options that will be available to you and your wife as you're going through this journey.
Do you have information concerning rates of increased incidence of pancreatic cancer, or is that one of the cancers that that's gone down in number?
Pancreatic cancer, actually, incidence rates have gone down slightly, but it is a type of cancer that we're really encouraging people when you're faced with that individually to really seek out some individual options, as the screening at this point is not fully available for that type of cancer.
Mm-hmm. Do you imagine, tell me about the kind of work that's being done on screening for different kinds of cancer. Are we seeing advances in that? Are we going to be screened at the end of this year or in the not too distant future for other kinds of cancer?
Well, screening for all types of cancers, there's different types of screenings that do become available. While screening is primarily focused on individuals or types of cancers that affect more individuals. So we're seeing, for example, with colon cancer, more people are diagnosed with colon cancer, so which really ramps up the need for a screening of colon cancer. Some of the other cancers are, just plain and simple, just harder to detect given location and given length of when people are diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. And what about cancer treatments, when we look at this report, much is made of the fact that we do have much better cancer treatments. So people are living for a much longer period of time with cancer, right?
Right. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's where we look at the incidence rates versus the death rates. When cancer is caught early, 90% of cancers can be treated when they're caught early. So that's how we're really looking at it impacting the death rate due to cancer.
Mm-hmm. Beth Luno is our guest this hour. We're looking at the news that came out, good news for the most part, from the Cancer Society last week, at the end of the week, showing that the number of cancer deaths in this country had dropped for 2 years in a row, 2003 and 2004, and some have said that these were dramatic drops. And, of course, the second year of decline is good news. We're looking at detection. We're looking at treatment for cancer. We're looking at what Americans have done to change their lifestyles as well to result in a lower number of deaths from cancer. But there are certain kinds of cancers that are being detected at higher rates as well. We certainly welcome your phone calls. Our number and lines are open for you right now is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. What kinds of prevention have you put into your life? Do you go for prevention for screenings fairly regularly? If you're living with cancer, have you found that there's been better treatment? What do you think about the reason that African Americans still have higher cancer mortality rates than whites, the reason for that kind of disparity and how that should be addressed in this society? We have lines open for you right now and certainly welcome your phone calls. We'll take them in a moment. Our guest is the Wisconsin Vice President of the American Cancer Society, Beth Luno. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Beth Luno is our guest, Wisconsin Vice President of the American Cancer Society. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Bonnie from Equan, hi.
Hi. It is very heartening that cancer rates are down, but I am concerned by the fact that especially here in Wisconsin and in the Milwaukee area, we are not doing more about the deaths from tobacco-related cancers. For example, we're not raising our taxes. We're not having smoke-free environments. We're not doing the kinds of things that other states are doing to bring down the death toll from tobacco. And I'd like your view on this.
Beth?
Sure. Well, thank you. That is an excellent question, and that's something that we can all really take on individually as we really pay attention to the current issues. And it sounds like you know a lot about the current climate here in Wisconsin in regards to preventing increases in lung cancer as well as protecting individuals through smoke-free workplaces. And that's something actually that is increasing in Wisconsin. We are seeing more and more that companies and places of employment are going smoke-free. And that's something that really results from employees and people like yourself saying how important that is to be able to go to work in a safe, smoke-free environment. That's very important that we continue to impact those changes here.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure.
My concern is all of the young girls that I see in college, in high school, who are smoking now, and I know that the increase in lung cancer is due to the fact that women started smoking later than men, and that's why that's increasing versus men. Any clues as to what we can do about that?
Well, I think that just goes back to continuing to impact those lifestyle changes and really putting out there in front of young people the risk that smoking, the lifetime risks that come from smoking. So even if you smoke for a short period of time in your life, you're still impacting your overall health and really making that a strong message. And again, encouraging our young people to not even start. And if people have started to smoke, encouraging them to quit. And there is help available. If you call the American Cancer Society at 1-800-ACS-2345, we can put you in touch with counselors that are available to help you in that process to quit smoking.
Thank you, Bonnie. We go next to Liz from Eau Claire. Hello, Liz.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a question about disparity in screening and an example specifically about colonoscopy versus the hemocult cards, which would be much cheaper form of the same thing. I had a friend who has no insurance, and she tried to find the cost of a colonoscopy, had great difficulty finding out the cost, finally picked the lowest cost one, went to that. When she got the bill, it was twice as much as what she had been told.
Mm.
So she has no insurance. She has to pay this.
Mm.
So obviously there's a disparity because even some insurances don't cover screening, and then there are the people who have none.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Wisconsin Women's Program, which covers cancer screening, certain cancer screenings for women, but then offers no funds for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a dilemma that we have. So I'd like your guest comments about that.
Sure, and thank you for that question. That is something that we do, unfortunately, see happen, and that's where we bring it back to the point of access to care and how important that is, that we're really striving to get that, to really have care available to all people, just for the issues that you mentioned. I'm not sure where your friend is at in her process, and it sounds like she's been a little bit farther down the line, but there are resources out there. I'm not sure what she's sought out as far as availability, but again, just encouraging her to call the 1-800-ACS-2345 and get her in touch with a patient navigator that can really help her uncover some resources that may be available to her in her area that she has not been able to find herself.
She's ahead the first one now, but I mean, she'll need to continue these because she is at risk. However, I mean, and that's a good idea, and I'm glad that exists, but I think what you said at first is really the answer,
right?
Is that we need to have coverage for everybody for
sure.
This kind of screening, regardless of age,
income,
income, and
mm-hmm.
so on. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
I'm going to make sure I got this right because it went fast. 800-ACS-2345?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Liz, so much for your call. Jacob is next. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. I am an MRI technologist, and I just kind of wanted to get the guest's thoughts on these new cancer screenings, such as lung CAT scans, what she thinks, if those are beneficial in helping to reduce the prevalence of lung cancer or helping to catch them early.
Well, thank you for your question. Certainly, whenever there is a screening available out there to detect cancer early, we do see that as promising. A lot of it does come back to the cost, though, and what's available to individuals. So while chest x-rays and things of that nature are oftentimes a good detector, we really encourage people to work with their healthcare provider as well as seek out other options and other resources in what may be the best channel for their care in a prevention and early detection method.
I have one more comment, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure, Jacob.
My mother is a 5-year cancer survivor of breast cancer, and I just really want to stress to everyone that's listening how important it is to get these mammograms. They are very inexpensive, and most insurances do cover them, and I think Medicare does cover them. But I also want to say my grandfather had breast cancer. And I was really kind of interested to hear the statistics on men getting breast cancer and what it does to somebody like me who has a mother, a grandmother, and a grandfather who have had breast cancer.
Mm.
Well, thank you for sharing. I think that's a really important message to put out there in front of people that breast cancer is not just a women's disease, that it is something that both men and women should take some precautions on, especially when there is that family history. So thank you for sharing. And congratulations, as your mom is a 5-year survivor. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very good.
Thanks so much, Jacob.
Thank you.
We go next to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I had a question regarding hereditary risk involved with certain kinds of cancer and screenings. Now, my question is because my father passed away from a glioblastoma, and I had a brother just pass away this last year from anaplastic astrocytoma, which are somewhat related. And I'm just wondering, is there any way of doing any screening, or is there something available in that regards for that type of cancer for early detection? And I'll take my answer off the phone.
Okay. Well, in regards to family history, there are data does support that, of course, when there is a family history of cancer, that it really is encouraged that individuals are prudent with their health care and visiting with their doctor. As far as detection and treatment options that are available and preventive measures that an individual can take based on family history, that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call. We have lines open if you've been trying to reach us. Our number is 800-486-8655. Beth Luno is with us, Wisconsin Vice President of the American Cancer Society. And we're looking at the cancer death rate in the country going down for the second year in a row. That's the good news. There are some problem areas. There's been a large jump in melanoma cases, and lung cancer is still being diagnosed at greater numbers. And also, there's a problem with African Americans having higher cancer mortality rates than whites. We're looking at the reason for that. We're looking at prevention. We're looking at screenings and welcoming your calls. Our lines have been busy, but if you tried right now, you ought to be able to get through. 800-486-8655. John from Wausau is next. Hi, John.
Hi. I was wondering if the American Cancer Society does any tracking of cancers by regions. My sister passed away from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she also was an in-home care provider in the Ashland area, and she felt there was a awful high cancer rate in that area for the amount of people in the area. I was just wondering if you had any comments on that, and I'll take my answer off the line.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Sure, thank you. That's a great question. Right now, the American Cancer Society, as far as tracking, really tracks regionally based on state, and that's where we've been collecting our data and seeing a lot of our trends. But there also are some areas and some cause for concern, like you've mentioned, and really tracking a little bit more specifically and narrowing that focus regionally within a state. And right now, those trends are not available, but that definitely is something to pursue in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call. 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in the Milwaukee area. The president, after this report was made public, was visiting the National Institutes of Health and urging Congress to pass legislation to protect the privacy of a person's genetic information, which could reveal predisposition to disease. What does the American Cancer Society have to say about that legislation? Is this important?
At this time, the American Cancer Society really has not commented on that type of legislation. Of course, we really want to be able to work with individuals, given their history and especially their family history in cancer, and be able to have that as a factor in their treatment options.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a legislative agenda this year? Are there certain issues that you're really pushing for, Beth?
Well, that's really housed in our government relations, and right now we're currently in the state of Wisconsin in session. So looking at, again, the smoke-free workplaces, that's really been a big area of ours, as well as looking at some of the other current hot topics and how the American Cancer Society can impact that.
Mm-hmm. Back to phone calls. James is next. Hi, James.
Yes, I'm a black male, I'm 62 years old. And 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I went the alternative route, and my PSA was like 53 when I started out, and then about 6 months later, it was down to 0.7, taking alternative medicine.
What were you taking, James?
It was called Prostasol.
Uh-huh. And did you go to traditional medicine first?
Yes, I did. They recommended I go to radiation and some other things to do. And I chose not to go that route.
Uh-huh.
And at this moment, I'm headed down to Zion, Illinois, to the Cancer Treatment Center for a check.
Uh-huh.
But I like to know what you think about alternative medicine.
Beth?
I mean, it's great to hear that you're doing so well. That's definitely good news. And I think really in an individual's cancer journey, it's really important for the individual to have all the information available to them as far as their options. And it seems like you found an option that's working well for you. And as you're on your way down to the Cancer Treatment Center, you'll have more information available to you. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, James. Thanks for the call. Rates of prostate cancer have gone down. The report did say that, didn't it, issued last week?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Substantially?
Yes, yes. Actually, prostate cancer, due in large part to the screening of prostate cancer, and that more men are getting screened, and they're getting screened at that age of 40 years old or over, so that they're screening the prostate cancer is detected earlier, which is making a large impact on the death rates in relation to prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for the call, James. Let's go to Rose next from Chatfield, Minnesota. Hi, Rose.
Hark to the Irish lark. My daughter went to Madison, and one of her roommates was pre-med, and she came home one day. I was visiting, and she had a medical dictionary, and I asked her about it because I had worked previously at a biomedical device company in the Twin Cities as a technical editor, so I was familiar a little bit with medical dictionaries. And it was fairly new, and I said, well, what's new in the dictionary? And she said, they added the woman's body. Because in medical school, previously, they used to cut off the breast. You know, they never really studied them. Mm. And it seems so primitive today. They're still cutting off breasts. And another experience I had in the Twin Cities, I worked for a bone marrow donor place, and so I had to collect all printed data about cancer. And in Canada, they were taking the diseased parts of the breast out and treating them outside of the body, autologous, or I don't remember the name specifically. And it was a great success, but it was very expensive. Blue Cross Blue Shield didn't want to spend $150,000. And I recently had a mammogram at the Mayo Clinic at the insistence upon the doctor. I didn't really want to do it. And after it was finished, I said I wanted to know how much radiation had been emitted from the, you know, so this physicist came out 15 minutes later, and there's a lot of it that is emitted. I remember Pat Schroeder from Colorado saying all those mammogram machines were like, you know, they were kind of dangerous. My daughters both live in Idaho, and one of their friends' husband is a salesperson and is on the cell phone all the time. And he had brain cancer from that side of his brain that he uses his cell phone. So I just, you know, it's really... I think it's all around us. Cancer's all around us today in the air and in our food.
Beth?
Well, there definitely are risks out there. And really being able to pinpoint something that's in our environment is an area that is so difficult to refine. So when we're talking about mammography, in the comments that you made as far as radiation from mammography, mammography still is one of the best ways to detect cancer for a woman. Breast cancer. So we really want to encourage women that mammography is still an effective method in identifying cancer and has not really been proven as a way to cause cancer. So really want to stress that. We want to encourage women to still go out and have their mammography, that it's really important. The modern mammography machine produces breast x-rays that are high image quality, but very low in radiation. While it may seem high in relation to other things, it is very low in radiation. In the past former types of mammography machines that we used, there were concerns about radiation risk. However, today there are virtually no risks at all as far as the levels of radiation a woman may be getting.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rose, so much for your call. We go to Mary from St. Paul next. Hi, Mary.
Yes, hi. I was wondering, along the same lines as the last question, it seems like breast cancer is the only one where women are expected after the age of 40 or so to expose parts of their body to radiation for, depending on how long they live, 20 or 30 years every year. Does radiation accumulate in the body? I have concerns about the accumulation of radiation in a woman's body. And are they coming up with any new tests like that would avoid radiation to detect for breast cancer? I realize you said that they haven't proven that breast cancer is caused by the radiation from mammograms, but it makes me wonder, especially when they recommend them every year and women are living longer and longer. I'll take my answer off the phone. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for the call.
All right, and that's a great question, and I do want to just put the mammography and radiation that's in mammography into perspective. The dose, if a woman with breast cancer is treated with radiation, for example, she will likely receive a total of about 5,000 rads, and that's the measurement for radiation is called rads. If she had a yearly mammogram beginning at age 40 and continued until she was 90, she she would only receive a total of 20 to 40 rads in total for her life. So just in seeing as far as an accumulation and amount of radiation, the screening process is so low, and it's really important to see that the amount that's coming through an X-ray is just minimal in comparison to what the alternative is, which could very likely be someone being diagnosed with the disease and dying from a disease if it had not been caught early.
We're welcoming phone calls. We have lines open for Beth right now. Beth Luno is our guest, Wisconsin Vice President of the American Cancer Society, looking at the report issued by the Cancer Society last week showing that the number of deaths in this country has dropped 2 years in a row now and fairly substantially, although there are some red flags that we've been talking about those as well. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Tomorrow during this time period, we'll be speaking with the author of Commander-in-Chief, How Truman, Johnson, and Bush Turned Presidential Power into a Threat to America's Future. Our guest is the award-winning author of 12 previous books, including Old Soldiers Never Die, The Life of Douglas MacArthur, Ulysses Grant, Soldier and President, Eisenhower, and most recently Lincoln's War, The Untold Story of America's Greatest President as Commander-in-Chief. So this will be tomorrow during this time period. Hope you'll tune in. More phone calls in just one moment for our guest, 800-486-8655, or in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We return to phone calls now, and we go to Allison from River Hills. Hello, Allison.
Hi. I have a question about breast cancer risk. My mother was diagnosed at 68 with breast cancer and is now 83, had both breasts removed. But because she was postmenopausally diagnosed, does that negate my sister and my risk, does it elevate our risk still?
Well, thank you for your question. And I would say it does not necessarily negate your risk, given when your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it really is still important that you and your sister are prudent in your care and making your healthcare provider aware of your family history. Given the details you just outlined for us here, that's really going to be important in outlining yours and your sister's plans, your medical care for the future.
Okay, but does it raise our risk? Because I was told that because it was postmenopausal, it doesn't really affect our risk. Is that true or is that not true?
It's not necessarily one or the other. That's where it's really important, again, to have that conversation with your healthcare provider and making them aware of the family history.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. 800-486-8655, the number. Roy from Wausau. Hi, Roy.
Hello. An earlier question, caller asked about any information that might be available to explain what seems to be a very high incidence of cancer up in the Ashland area. There was a study about 20 years ago. It's not a cause and effect study, but it was a statistical study that showed that the rate was exceptionally high along the whole area from Ironwood, Curly, right over to Duluth area. One of the theories advanced was that that is an area where the wind blows from the southwest up from areas like Arizona and Nevada, where the atomic bomb tests were, nuclear tests were conducted, and there were high incidence of strontium-90 in the soil during the period of time that those tests were going on. The theory being that the soil leads to agricultural products like milk and meat, et cetera, and so there was a concern that the origin of some of the excess of strontium-90 was from the bomb tests, and of course that's cancer causing. So there's no scientific cause and effect to it in this study, but it was done in college.
Uh huh. Thanks, Roy, for the call. Have there been, and is the American Cancer Society Institute interested in doing major studies where you find communities with very high rates of cancer? Or do you have the funds to do that, Beth?
Well, environmental pollutants and cancer is an area that we are, as the American Cancer Society, really starting to dig into and research some more information. While it is so advanced out there, what the different possibilities that it could be when it comes to the environment, obviously the research has to be really in depth and in detail to provide some accurate facts for people. That information, again, we're just in the beginning stages of starting to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the call, Roy. Let's go to Jason next from Madison. Hi, Jason.
Hi, kid. How you doing? Hey, look, I want to discuss the fact that why is the Cancer Institute just now determining that there's a high rate of cancer in African-American neighborhoods? You can go back to the history of marijuana use, and not until the beatniks started using marijuana did the country become concerned and outlaw marijuana. Not until cancer rates became high in white America did suddenly there was concern about it while it was still going on in black America. Why don't they go to the barbershops? Why don't they go to the churches? Why don't they go to the institutions that where black people are at and talk about the problems that are in urban pollution that causes cancer? And, you know, let's face it, social science has shown that economic inequality does have a negative psychological effect on people. So cigarettes give you that euphoric feeling that all is not bad. So we don't have time on this program to talk about the issues that affect the black American that causes cancer in his life, physically, psychologically, where they're living at. What can I say?
I think you've said what you wanted to say, Beth.
Well, again, just looking at areas of disparities, whether it be racial, ethnic, socioeconomic, the big concern from the American Cancer Society is really looking at the access to care people have, that there not be a disparity in the care that people can get regardless of race, ethnicity, or social status. That's really what we're striving, and that's what's going to make the biggest impact on people being diagnosed and treated and impacting the death rates in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jason, very much for your call. Ellen is next from Brookfield. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Well, I'd like a clarification on what deaths from cancer means, because my mother-in-law died from multiple myeloma. She had it. It came back. She died. And, after trying treatment, two or three times. And her death is listed as cardiac arrest. So there's a cancer death that is not counted in the cancer death. And in the end, we all die from cardiac arrest. And since then, I have, by talking to other people, because in my family, there's, people who have breast cancer and prostate cancer and pancreatic cancer, which, by the way, just doesn't usually get even found until it's so advanced. And there's a really simple test that's not expensive, but insurance companies won't pay for it. Mm. So there have been, I've seen several people's deaths that are listed as cardiac arrest when they died from cancer. So what is cancer? I mean, when you say cancer deaths are down, what does it mean?
That's a great question and something that I'm glad that you bring it up, because it should be clarified. When we are talking the deaths from cancer, the data that the American Cancer Society is presenting is based on, we're emphasizing age-adjusted mortality rates. And just to explain what that is a little bit further, age-adjusted mortality rates, or death rates, they're defined as the number of people per 100,000 dying of the cancer disease during a given year. And the death rates are adjusted to the age structure of a standard population so that the populations of different age structures can be compared. So, for example, without adjusting for age, it would be inaccurate to compare the cancer rates of the state of Florida, which has a larger elderly population, to that of Alaska, which has a younger population. Without adjusting for the age, it would appear that the cancer rates for Florida are much higher than for Alaska. However, once the ages are adjusted, it appears that the rates are similar. So that's really the basis that we use just for things that you had mentioned.
Okay. Thanks, Ellen, for your call. Joan is next from Oregon. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I have a comment about the accuracy of mammograms to detect cancers, and it's based on my experience and experience I've had with my mother. My mother lives up in Eau Claire, and 3 years ago, she's had her mammograms regularly. 3 years ago, she was detected with three large lumps, and they were seen on a mammogram as thickening, and then they found out that she had to have her breast removed. But they also thought that these lumps had been growing for probably in the neighborhood of 10 years, and they had not been detected or checked or questioned, nothing. Last week I found out my mother now has it in the other breast and may be losing that breast. And based on her experiences, I was urged by her doctor to go and have additional tests because I have the same thickening fibrous tissues that she has in her breast. So I did. I went and talked to my doctor, had a mammogram, showed nothing, and I asked for further testing, went through an ultrasound, showed nothing. So I asked, and I fought tooth and nail to get through all of these additional tests with doctors and nurses, by the way. I was agreed with the insurance company to go and see a specialist. She examined me and found that I had lumps. She removed them, and they were very questionable, but they turned out to be negative. So I was told by another doctor recently that I could request an MRI as a follow-up based on all my family history. My mother's mother also had breast cancer, and my dad has had three sisters with breast cancer. Two of them passed away. So I'm saying I do not find mammograms as accurate at all, and I'm wondering if this is true that I can request an MRI.
Beth?
Yeah, that is a great question. While mammography is valuable, it does have its limitations, so I'm really glad that you bring that up. It does miss some cancers, so it is important. All suspicious lumps should be biopsies for a definite diagnosis. That's a recommendation that the American Cancer Society has. And it's really important, like you took matters into your own hand when you weren't getting the information you were looking for from your healthcare provider. So seeking out other opinions and seeking out care from other individuals. Also, several recent studies have shown that MRI appears to be more sensitive than mammography in detecting tumors in women, especially with an inherited susceptibility to breast cancer. So that definitely is a viable option for you to pursue in your course of action and treatment.
Mm-hmm. And thanks very much for the call. Before we go back to phone calls, you have said in response to this report, the most important thing everyone could do is consider lifestyle changes, Beth, increasing physical activity and improving dietary habits. We haven't spent much time talking about that. How do we need to change those behaviors, and how are they related to prevention of cancer?
Well, that's a great question. And the only thing I would add on to the physical activity and nutrition is really, again, if you smoke, quit, and if you don't even start. Really limiting and eliminating the use of tobacco products is key in changing lifestyle factors and decreasing a person's risk. But also, as far as exercise and dietary factors, exercise, the recommendation is still to get out 30 to 60 minutes a day for moderate to intense activity. Increasing your heart rate is really important when we're talking about exercise. So walking, jogging, running, all those types of activities are really good for an individual as far as maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And then when it comes to diet and nutrition, maintaining a diet that's low in fat and high in fiber, that's really important. Eating your fruits and vegetables, I think we've all grown up hearing that. So just really maintaining that as you focus on your lifestyle and nutrition.
Let's go to Judy from Appleton. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad you're having this program. I am 63 years old, and I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer stage 3C in June of 2005. And what they say about ovarian cancer is it whispers, so you should listen. And mine turned out to be sort of a fluidy swishing sound in my chest. And anyway, it was behind my diaphragm, and I turned out to be pretty lucky. The care and the treatment has not been horrific. I'm lucky to be alive and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk about the CA-125 blood test, because of all the articles I've looked at, I wish I'd have kept the one that was in the paper about, I think it was the FDA turning down using this test regularly, but yet it was in the 90-some percentile. When I talk to doctors and I talk to nurses, I get different answers. But that is what they use now mostly to find out if my cancer has returned, which is a great likelihood. And it costs, like, my insurance company like $107. And if you're sensitive, that test will tell you something's wrong there. And they do not give it routinely. And yet I find it strange that even when Gilda Radner died, you know, her husband then was talking about this test. And they say, well, they show false positive. That's the thing the doctors say the most. But it was almost okayed, and I think it will be in the future. So I just wanted to comment on that because the nurses say, I think they should give it, you know.
They should give it routinely, are you saying?
Because of, well, it would have helped me, even though I wasn't as good as I should have been about going to, you know, a real thorough exam and thinking about it. We're trying to bring it to the forefront.
Right. What kind of treatment have you had, Judy?
I had, after my third trip to a lung doctor, after having a special x-ray the same day, he started drawing fluid out. And the third time, I said, you know, you've had enough time to eliminate fungus or whatever. Do you think it's ovarian cancer? I've been doing a little reading. Well, yes, it was. So then I went to a gynecologist, did not know, and he operated, and he said he was optimistic, but who knows. They just took out both ovaries. There was a millimeter in between the ovaries that they found, so then they consider it a 3 if it's moved at all. And then I had chemo, Taxir, and you know, are very good treatments. And I once I got the nausea drug, which they did not tell me about, I found it out from a nurse. Then everything was wonderful, smooth sailing. The CA number went down. I mean, I am treated for that every second or third month to find out that is the number one clue as to whether it's returned or not. And they have just changed. Am I going to a gynecologist for an exam, because it's most likely to happen in my abdomen area, from 6 months to 3 months. He just told me that. But you just need to get the word out there that people have to be, women have to be aware of that area and any changes, because then your gynecologist should do an ultrasound or a vaginal ultrasound or something. But that CA-125, I can't wait till that's routine.
What about that, Beth?
Well, the CA-125 is one of the areas that we recommend, pelvic exam and transvaginal ultrasound, and then the blood test for the CA-125, as was just mentioned. They're recommended for women who have symptoms and women at average risk as well. So I'm glad that you bring that up, because it is also an important part of somebody's screening process.
Thanks very much for the call. And we have time for maybe one or two more phone calls if you want to ring in right now. Our lines have been busy. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 for those of you who are joining us in the Milwaukee area. And because this report from the American Cancer Society look at the rates and the incidence of cancer, what statistics do you have concerning ovarian cancer? Have the rates gone down?
Yes, the rates of ovarian cancer have gone down. Treatment options have really made the death rates for ovarian cancer go down. That when the survival rate for ovarian cancer has increased, when women catch the ovarian cancer, again, through those screening methods, the pelvic exam, the transvaginal ultrasound, and the blood test as well, when ovarian cancer is caught early, that it can be treated.
It is one of those kinds of cancers that can be silent for a long period of time, though, right?
Right. And some signs and symptoms women should look for. The most common sign is an enlargement of the abdomen, which is caused by an accumulation of fluid. So it's important that women know symptoms and that they are visiting with their doctor on a regular basis. It's important to go for your yearly exam. That's the pap smear and the pelvic exam are two areas of screening that are so important for women. And as women go and they're meeting with their doctor and they're having those exams, areas like ovarian cancer can be detected early and then treated.
And you recommend at what age, how often, a visit to your gynecologist?
that women visit their gynecologist once a year over the age of 18 or when they become sexually active.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Don from Eau Claire. We're almost out of time, but Don, quickly, hi.
Yeah, just real quick, I had to say that I had my first melanoma, which was a grade 4 about 6 years ago. And the only reason it was found was I was having regular checkups with the dermatologist because of a basal cell. And I just had my second melanoma about 3 months ago, and it was successful. And again, because I see the dermatologist once every 4 months.
Yeah. Got to see the doctor. Thanks very much, Don, for the call. Beth, thank you so much for being with us this hour.
Thank you.
Beth Lunau, Vice President in Wisconsin of the American Cancer Society, looking at the report that came out end of last week from the American Cancer Society, looking at the latest statistics. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and to Mimi Notstein for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Copies of the show, call the radio store at 800-747-7444. The program number is 122E, 122E. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network.